The title of our message, God Remembers, Romans chapter 11, verses 26 to 29. Romans chapter 11, verses 26 to 29. The Apostle Paul quotes from the prophet Isaiah to affirm that there will be a time when Israel will turn to God in the future. Isaiah 59 and verses 20 to 21. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in my mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Isaiah 27, verse 9. And by this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin, when he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are bitten in sunder, the groves and images shall not stand up. Here the Lord says, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them, I will take away their sins. How to take away sins? How to take away sins? The propensity for evil, to do the wrong thing when we ought to do the right thing. The propensity to sin, the iniquities of our hearts, of our lives. Well, it is in the Messiah of Israel, Jesus Christ. God's promise to Israel is that he shall, through the Messiah, bring salvation to their in their latter days. Christ will return to save Israel and establish his rule from Jerusalem. He shall purge all iniquity from Israel. God is saying to us that human kingdom will give way to divine kingdom. Right? Our past 7,000 years in human history, we realize that we have failed. Man has failed miserably. And God, through his Son Jesus Christ, has to return. And the Bible tells us that Christ will have to rule on earth himself. How will Christ rule? Christ will rule with his attributes, the attributes of God. Divine love. And you know, when we enter the millennium, when Christ will rule, you will find that all shall be saved. Right? But what happens after? It's going to be 1,000 years. The children born again during those times. Well, the Bible tells us, and we can understand that there will be a rebellion that will take place after the 1,000-year rule of Christ. Because there will be sinners that will be born during that time. And God has to quell all the rebellion. God has to quell and stop, but it will be a very fast one. The sinful nature of men. How it has to be subdued under God, the Spirit of God, so that we would, by the grace of God, seek to live a holy life, a life that would be pleasing in the sight of God, that our sins will no longer molest us, our sin will no longer cause us to become weak, become unproductive for God. The Lord seeks that we be a vessel that is clean, a vessel that is unto honor. And so here is given to us how Israel will not be saved until finally they will go on in their iniquity, not recognizing their Savior, their God. How sad it is. But while this happens, God is allowing the message of the salvation grace to reach the Gentile world. We belong to the Gentile world, and salvation grace has come to us. The gospel has come to us, and we have been much privileged to receive the goodness of God in the salvation of our souls, so that, as we were mentioning, that we are partakers of the divine nature, God living in us, the power of God acting in and through us, the Spirit of God in us, acting, enabling. It must cause us to be comforted. It must cause us to realize that God is so nigh to us. God is so near to us. And the Lord wants us to see and understand His covenant love for His people. The full impact of God's covenant with Israel is recorded in Jeremiah 31 and verses 31 to 34, where God will transform their hearts to love and serve Him. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I am an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity, I will remember their sin no more." The prophet Zechariah, whose name means God remembers, alluded to the truth that God does not forget His promises to Israel, recorded in the millennial blessings of Israel at the close of the book of Zechariah, fulfilling the prophecy God gave to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34, which we have just read. Zechariah 14, verse 20 and 21 says, "In that day shall there be unto the bells of the Lord holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be unto the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take them and seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts." The Canaanite. Who is the Canaanite? The 10 tribes that were existing in Canaan. Idolatrous. immoral. Here the Lord is saying to us that iniquity will be purged and God will make for himself his people that will not be tainted by sin, by the propensity to sin, by the Canaanite mentality. The Canaanite shall no more be in the house of the Lord of hosts. God will purge. The mark of true consecration will be seen everywhere and practiced in the millennium. It's holiness unto the Lord. The Lord wants us to live a life of sanctification, a life of holiness before Him. God wants us to live a life that is pleasing in His sight. And God is seeking for His people to do so, to live that a life which would bring honor to His name. All are cleansed and holy in Jerusalem and among God's people. There will be holiness in public life. Here is described the bells of the horses, in the religious life, pots in the Lord's house, and all private life, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah. Truly, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God dwells physically in the midst of his saints, who will be appointed to rule with him. You know, that we are going to rule with Christ on earth. That's our destiny. That's our privilege in Christ. What glorious time it will be. And the last two verses of the prophecy by Zechariah may well close not only this book, but the whole history of Israel, for it shows God's original purpose fulfilled in Exodus 19, verse 6. What did God say to them when they came out of Egypt? Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, who will enter the house of the Lord, recognized as regenerated, born again believers. The church of Jesus Christ on earth consists of the invisible church, or what we call the universal church, consisting of all true believers, and the local church where we are in, consisting of both believers and non-believers. We cannot tell who are those who believe, who are those who cannot believe, from mere outward profession. But we give the benefit of the doubt here. And here the Lord is saying that there is His true church. His true church that would rule by the spirit of holiness, and the corrupt nature that wars against the spirit of holiness would be kept under God. And the people of God is urged to wage a good warfare against the corruptness that is in us. Can we do that? By practicing holy habits, watching and working. For the night comes when no man can work. The Lord remembers. And we have time now before the Lord would return. We don't know how much time we have, but we know our time is short. And the Lord wants us to use our time wisely. If you have a friend, a neighbor, a loved one who is still outside the kingdom of God, now is the time to pray and to ask God to lead you to someone that you can invite to come to church. So if you invite one person and each one of us invite one person to come to church, right? If you invite one person a year to come to church, then you find that our church will double in 1 year. Right? In 2 years, it will be quadruple. Right? Each one bring one person. The Lord wants us to do that. The Lord wants us to be prepared for that. The Lord wants us to prepare us so that we can be useful for Him. We can be a vessel for righteousness, a vessel by which God can use us to reach out, to bless somebody. Are you on the lookout for the people around you? Someone that is a friend to you? Someone that you are concerned about? Who needs help? Who is still outside the kingdom of God? The Lord wants us to you to reach out to such a person and to facilitate that a person may be brought to know God. And you know that process can take a lifetime. When you bring somebody to know God, that relationship is for eternity. In heaven, they will come and say thank you to you. Why? Because, wow, that's a great thing that they would realize that has happened to them. A great thing. And the Lord wants us to see the value of the work that He has entrusted to us. And He wants us to be fully awakened and up and about to the task that He has entrusted us. The blindness of Israel was for the salvation of the Gentiles. Verse 28 says, "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." There is a general rejection of the gospel by the Jewish people. Like the Apostle Paul before his conversion, the Jews are enemies to the gospel. It's sad to see that, because the Jews rejected the gospel. God opened the way for the gospel to be given to the Gentiles. Swindle, Charles Swindle rightly said, we Gentiles should first be thankful for the blessings we currently enjoy at their expense. In fact, we should honor them for their future role in God's plan to redeem His creation. This is the Jewish people. Although now, you know, they may not know the right hand from the left hand, but they are the people from whom God has committed the oracles. They are the people of God. The Apostle Paul is saying that we must not forget the Jews, because they are God's chosen people. Because of His covenant with their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jews are still held with utmost endearment by God. He's leading us to see the Jewish people from God's standpoint. That is why last year, you remember the theme of our church camp? Yeah. We were studying concerning God's dealing with the people of Israel, so that we may know what blessing God has given us through the people of Israel, and what blessing we have received from Him, so that we will be a people who is so grateful, thankful, because we have been blessed much. If we know anyone willfully reject the gospel, although they may be children of believing parents, we do continue to pray for them. Do not give up on them. For God delighteth in mercy. Verse 29 of Romans 11 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God's gifts and calling are incapable of being changed, not to be taken back. God is not fickle-minded. He carries through the people whom He chooses to their ultimate blessing. So, aren't you happy? Are we not happy? Should we not be happy for who we are? What God had done for us as His children? Surely we must be. And the Lord wants us to know what a great God we serve. God is not impatient with the wayward. He allows them time to see their waywardness and return to Him. God supplies His grace to sustain and keep His chosen people. What a blessing, a blessed experience to have and to receive the loving kindness of our great God. The prophet Micah articulated this very well in Micah 7, verses 18 to 20. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighted in mercy. He will not turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from days of old. Because God is not done with Israel, there is hope for us. Are we any better than Israel? Certainly not. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Do we have a little sin? Do we have a large sin? Well, all of it. Jesus Christ washed it away for us. And we thank the Lord that we can come to Him to have our sins cleansed. And what can we say? We cannot say anything other than to give thanks to Him for His mercy towards us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace. Strengthen us by Thy presence and comfort us by Thy mercy, and instruct us by Thy word. Lord, help us that we may know the exceeding great reward that Thou hast promised to us, Thy people, whom Thou hast called by Thy name, the name of Jesus Christ. O Lord, let us be fully aware of the inheritance that we have in Christ and fully appropriate it for Thy own namesake. Help us this, I pray with thanksgiving, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.